grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep you seated. Our text for our meditation this morning is the gospel lesson we heard just a moment ago from St. Matthew chapter 22. And our theme is, you are chosen. But isn't it great to be chosen? For that is what it means to be baptized and dearly beloved of God. It means you have been chosen by God to have a place in the kingdom of heaven and a seat at the wedding feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. We start at the end of our gospel lesson today because that's where we're at today. We're at the end. We are in the last days. These days when the chosen are being called out of the darkness of this fallen world and into the marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom of heaven. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our dear Lord wants us to know by this closing verse in our gospel text today from St. Matthew that many are called, but few are chosen. You, my dear Christian friend, you are among those select few that have been chosen. This being chosen is even better than choosing. Although our text reminds and warns and even comforts us that most people would rather choose than to be chosen. The text says, but they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. What Jesus shows us here is that his Father in heaven is always sending the Holy Spirit out with invitations. These invitations are to come and be joined with his chosen ones. Yes, even joined with Christ himself, who is the Father's chosen one. This he does through the voices. He sends these invitations through the voices of prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors. Maybe even occasionally, you sometimes share the invitation. Some choose their homes and farms over being chosen to be joined with Christ and his bride, the church. These can be understood by those of whom St. Paul writes in Romans. He says, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The great glory of God is without doubt Christ crucified. And those God has chosen to be with him. Those who choose farms are those who worship the creation itself instead of the Creator. And they choose to simply go looking for God. Or at least they lose themselves in this effort of trying to find God, and they try to forget about all their troubles. You know, those things that will themselves pass away on that great and last day. Others choose their businesses and occupations over being chosen to be joined with Christ and his bride. These can be understood as those who choose to boast in themselves. Rather be found exemplary in their own works and even think that they earn their own way to heaven. They do this rather than boast of Christ and his forgiveness. That which alone itself delivers us into heaven to be found doing the good work that was prepared beforehand for them to do in Christ Jesus. So, still others are so opposed to being chosen, they go so far as to seize, mistreat, and even kill those whom God sends out with the invitation. These are those who are persecuted. These can be understood, those who kill and seize and mistreat those who carry the invitations. These can be understood as those false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond with their deeds. Finally, there are those who try to sneak into the wedding feast wearing their own clothes. God's word warns about this. God chose you to be free. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to do whatever your sinful self wants to do. Instead, you serve each other with love. If you don't for one minute believe anything that you do or you may have done can present you as one acceptable for the kingdom of heaven. All of these, all of those who were mentioned in the gospel text today, they all miss out on the blessings of God and they prefer to choose themselves. But in doing so, they choose to remain in the darkness of their own sin and removed from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Make no mistake about it. Each one of us is tempted to prefer to do our own thing rather than choosing, we want to choose. What we humanly want to do. We want to be the one to choose. And that's a mistake. The one thing to relish, the one thing to enjoy, the one thing to find the most comfort in, the most joy we can have is that God has chosen you. He's chosen me. This is what our baptismal life is all about. Celebrating our baptism every day. What does such baptizing with water signify? If you read the small catechism lately, it says it signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That's living the baptismal life. And it is our life as a member of Christ's holy bride, the church, that we learn and confess together according to what the Large Catechism says. As the explanation of the third article of the Creed, it says, everything, therefore, in the Christian Church is ordered toward this goal. We shall receive daily in the Church nothing but the forgiveness of sin through the word and signs to comfort and encourage our consciences as long as we live here. So even though we have sins, quote from the Large Catechism. So even though we have sins, the grace of the Holy Spirit does not allow them to harm us. For we are in the Christian church, where there is nothing but continuous, uninterrupted forgiveness of sin. I've said this before. It's impossible for a demon to possess a baptized person. It can't happen. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God Himself, that doesn't trump anything. Nothing can go over and above God. We need this continuous daily contrition, repentance, and forgiveness, lest we also return to being bound hand and foot by our own choosing into the outer darkness of our own sin, with all the others that were mentioned by Christ in our text as invited to the wedding feast, but found not worthy by their own choices and basically their stubborn refusal to be chosen. For to be chosen means to be loved even though you are unlovable. It is the essence of grace. It means you are wanted. It means you are valued. It means you are cherished. It means it is God's good pleasure to make you His. For being chosen as a guest at the wedding feast of His Son means He is making you a party to the marriage, a member of the bride of Christ. You are clothed in wedding garments. You are clothed in those wedding garments that He has bought and paid for with the precious body and blood of His Son upon the cross of Calvary. Thus, Jesus speaks of the kingdom of heaven as a wedding feast. We've talked about this before, too. The feast yet to come. And that is where everybody is joined with the bride to celebrate being joined with the groom and being clothed with His garments. He has bought and paid for so generously these garments for us to wear. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Oh, can Isaiah write in the words of God? Indeed, being clothed in the garments of salvation and covered with the robe of righteousness means to be clothed and covered by the bridegroom himself. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He has chosen to unite you to His divine nature in Christ Jesus. For what is marriage but that two become one flesh, the bride united to her groom? This is really good. If I can say this. From Genesis chapter 2. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." What is true of Adam and Eve in the beginning is even more true of Christ and the bride of the church. He has baptized to unite himself with her and make her one with him. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism and death. we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Folks, he takes all of our sin, all of our suffering, even death, unto himself, and bestows all of his righteousness, all of his blessings upon us. His home becomes our home. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Yes, you dear baptized children of God, you are among the few. You are dearly beloved by God, chosen by him, and you are clothed by him. And that is the flesh of Christ Jesus, the beloved Son of God, to live with him in his kingdom of heaven and celebrate the wedding feast with him now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.